Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found Nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to the Early Line on Sports Grid on Sirius XM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Time to do our 7 and 7 top headlines. Lots of great things happened over the weekend. Starting off with UFC 261. Kamaru Usman knocks out Jorge Masvidal in round 2 to retain his UFC welterweight title. Last time they fought, it took Usman 5 rounds and a unanimous decision to get that win. This time, a much shorter result. Usman wins his 14th straight fight.
Unbelievable showing from Kamaru Usman. Goes and 5-0s Jorge. Everyone's like, all right, it's going to be a lot of wrestling this go around. Crack. Nope. Knocks him out clean. Masvidal, who has a ton of professional fights, almost 50 under his belt, I believe, very rarely stopped in his career. Very, very few times. What a performance from Kamaru Usman. For my money, he's got to be the pound-for-pound best in the world, climbing the all-time rankings with every single result that he puts on the board. And just quickly to add with UFC 261, what a fun card. And Valentina Shevchenko and Rose Namajunas, mm-hmm. who won their respective title fights there, Rose and New, Valentina and Still. Just phenomenal performances from all three of those fighters in their respective title fights.
It was also awesome to see some fans, of course, in the stands there. Let's switch it over to the NBA. We had a marquee matchup yesterday, Suns-Nets. KD was back after missing 3 games with a thigh injury. Steve Nash said the plan was to play Durant less than 30 minutes. They did just that. KD ended with 33 points, 12 of 21 shooting, 6 boards, 4 assists in 28 minutes of action. The Nets went easily 128 to 119.
Folks out there that are betting the Brooklyn Nets to win the title, to win the East, I think might point to this game more than any game on the year as evidence as to why. No Harden, a great Phoenix Suns team, Durant's first game back, he's coming off of the bench, 128-119. The offense feels almost impossible to stop at times. The Phoenix Suns team that checks in top 10 on the defensive side of the basketball here, even if I still don't believe there's value on those Brooklyn Nets futures, at times, you're overwhelmed by all of the talent that they have, and you understand where people are coming from.
Yep, and how about the Wizards? They won their 8th straight after beating the Cavs yesterday. I mean, they are just hot. This is their longest win streak in 20 years. The Wizards are in that number 10 spot in the Eastern Conference standings, currently 2 games ahead of the Bulls. Wizards to make the playoffs right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. Yes, plus 265. No, minus 1,800.
I mean, look, plus 265, I've seen worse numbers out there for a team that's playing red hot, and I think some would argue would have the 2 best players if they were to play the Indiana Pacers, which is right now the 9-10 game, and if they win that and play the Charlotte Hornets, might they have the 2 best players again in a single elimination? Red hot, 8 straight wins, as you said, Aaron. A lot to like here about what the Washington Wizards are delivering. Healthy as well, one of the key words.
Yep, and they'll be playing the Spurs tonight to see if they can get that 9th straight win. Let's take it to the field. Fernando Tatis and company beat the Dodgers 8-7 in extra innings, rallying from a 6-run deficit. Awesome series to watch if you could. Now the Padres get their 4th win this season against the Dodgers and win the series 3-1.
It had everything. We had comebacks, we had extra innings, we had a Hero of the Night winner in Eric Hosmer. This series delivered in a tremendous way, in the same way that the first series did. Padres have the edge right now, 4-3 on the season series. I look forward to seeing who wins this thing overall. heated rivalry. Best rivalry in baseball right now. You can't argue that.
Yep, and quickly want to welcome in our radio audience. You're listening to The Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Doing our 7-7 top headline, let's switch it over to golf. The Australian duo of Mark Leishman and Cameron Smith win the Zurich Classic on the first playoff hole. For those confused, this was a duo's match.
Yeah, it was really interesting, though, because Smith and Leishman were all the way up there near minus 430 live. They were supposed to close the door. They find themselves in a play-in, minus 125 to still win this thing as the play-in was getting underway. Oosthuizen puts one in the water to start that play-in, and that is the door opening that Smith and Leishman needed to close that door. They did it. They cashed those 10-1 numbers that were available pre-tournament. I think it was somewhere in that range, and even the minus 125 live ticket that people might have made before that play-in.
Yeah, and Kev, of course, it is NFL draft week. We'll be talking all things throughout the week in regards to the odds and where any major trades happen. But the Chiefs are trading its first-round pick to the Ravens in exchange for offensive tackle Orlando Brown and one pick in the 2021 draft and another in the 2022.
This is the thing. You see this trade, you see Orlando Brown, think Chiefs, Super Bowl, offensive tackle. This is important. But you said it. It's draft week. This has big implications in my eyes for the NFL draft, a couple of markets now where you think, okay, this equals this. We'll talk about that, and we'll continue to break that down certainly throughout this hour. It's a big trade, not just for when we get to, you know, playing games down in September. This is a big trade for this Thursday.
And like you mentioned, lots of things going to be happening with the NFL draft. One of those being the 49ers are down to Alabama's Mac Jones and North Dakota State's Trey Lance. Jones sits at minus 250 and Trey Lance plus 195 to go three overall. I mean, we've been talking about this number three spot so much in the last couple of weeks, but now we have, of course, Jones minus 250.
Let's call it what it is. It's time to call this race. It's Mac Jones. They're drafting Mac Jones. It is what it is. They've been trying to flirt around. Oh, we might take Trey Lance. We might take Justin Fields. No, you're not. You're taking Mac Jones. You traded up to take Mac Jones. That was the name that we heard when they went up to three. People are in disbelief. I'm in disbelief, but it's the reality. At this point, if it's not Mac Jones that gets called for the third overall pick, I'd be stunned.
We'll talk more about the draft later in this hour. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Happy Monday. You're tuning into The Early Line. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. If you are listening or viewing us, of course, on Sports Grid. Now, we want to continue with our NBA preview. We have the Lakers, Magic. Magic, of course, on a back-to-back after playing the Pacers yesterday. AD called these road games versus the Magic and the Wizards. That's coming up. Must wins for the defending champs. Lakers have lost their last three games and are currently fifth in the West at 35-25 record. Dennis Schroeder is questionable with the calf injury for this game. Lakers right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook laying 10. Kev, do you think AD can turn things around here?
I think so. Orlando will be a welcome sight for this club. The Magic have only covered one of their last eight games. They've not covered in five consecutive on a five-game losing streak. And the one thing that we've seen with the Lakers, even when they didn't have Anthony Davis, they won whenever they were supposed to. Every single time they were supposed to win, that's exactly what they did, including putting together a result against the Orlando Magic at home. Are the Lakers a lock to cover the 10? I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure. I would actually be a little cautious here overlaying this 10 points. We've not seen Anthony Davis dazzle just yet. Orlando actually nabbed a cover at the Staples Center when they did meet about a little bit ago, not too long, earlier in the month, back end of March maybe. But all in all, I expect the Lakers to get the job done for what you said, Aaron, that it is somewhat of a must win, or what Anthony Davis said and what you told us he said. If they're going to not only catch Denver for the four spot, they need this result, but the Mavericks are hot on their tail now, trying to come up to that five spot there. And look, we can look at Utah. You could look at Utah and say, look, the Jazz, that's great. The Lakers do not want to play the Clippers in round two. The Clippers don't want to play the Lakers in round two. They do not want to play each other until the conference finals. Okay. And of course, if the Lakers fall back to six, they've got no chance then to catch the Nuggets for four. Like, you want to be able to host a series as well. I expect the Lakers to win. I think there's a world I could see it. They got off to a slow start. Maybe you get them live laying five. I would be a little more interested in that, but I expect the Lakers win. I could see Orlando, though, covering the double digits number here.
And since you mentioned the Mavericks and them kind of coming up the board in terms of those Western Conference standings, the Mavs will play the Kings tonight. They're laying 5.5 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. They're on a 3-game win streak, but of course, seeking revenge against the Kings, who are on a back-to-back. When they lost to the Kings last week, 121-107 in Dallas, that was terrible. Now, De'Aaron Fox did enter COVID-19 health and safety protocol, so something to keep in mind when betting on this game.
A party loves Dallas, though, right? Because they're going on the road. That's where they still have typically been their most comfortable.
Where they shine.
especially as a road favorite, right? 10-6 on the season in that spot. Sacramento's actually done a nice job now covering four of their last five, even if they've only won two of those games. But one of those, as you mentioned, considerable dogs in Dallas. I feel like with what we know of the Mavericks, they bounce back here, especially with Sacramento being on the second leg of a back-to-back. Mm-hmm. I lean Dallas in this spot. I don't think we would expect Kristaps, though, to be back. And I wonder, at what point do we start to worry about his availability come the postseason?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. Also on the board tonight, we had the Grizzlies versus the Nuggets. Nuggets right now laying 4.5. Now, the Nuggets have won five of the last six games, of course, in that number four spot on the Western Conference standings. But back on April 19th, not too long ago, the Nuggets won by two in overtime. Do you think the Grizzlies could potentially cover here? I always like to take the Grizzlies to cover, but of course, when I take them as my dog of the day, they never cover. So I will not say this is my dog of the day. I don't want to jinx it, but I think they could potentially do that.
Grizzlies have covered 7 of 8 games. The one game they didn't cover is when they checked in as the dog of the day.
And that line was that 8-point swing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, all the way around. 8-9 points. Incredible stuff. Terrible. So you can't respect that from Memphis. They did, as you mentioned, they just played Denver. That crazy double overtime, 139-137 comeback victory there by the Nuggets. So you look at this game here, you immediately think about the total. Oh boy, here's the thing. I don't know what it is about the Denver Nuggets. So Erin says that she can't get the Memphis side correct, right? I can't get Denver totals right because I always just try to bet. Like, they're an over team on the season. 20-11 to the over at home on the season, 8 games above 500 to the over, 34-26 to the over on the year. I just can't seem to get it right. But we just saw them have a splashy performance as far as the total goes against this Memphis team just a week ago. So when this ends up being – so, Aaron, do you like – like, if I say I like the over and then you like Memphis, it's Denver and the under, right? That would then be the best bet on the board?
I would say, I mean, I like the Grizzlies to cover at 4.5. I wouldn't be surprised if that gets down to like 3.5 or even 3 before the game. But I mean, I feel like you're right in terms of every time you do say Denver over, it somehow hits the under. So there's always just one or two teams that you kind of think are great and you kind of ride those trends. But then you realize every time you decide to actually physically say that is your pick and distinctively feel confident in it, they always surprise you. So maybe it's a game we both just stay away from. There's so many games on the board. So I don't, is that what you think? Maybe we just stay away from this one?
Yeah. I think personally, like, great game, excited to watch it. But I think EKD and I will step back, okay? Because or no. Like, look, I think it goes over. So bet the under, okay, people? I think it goes over. I keep getting Denver totals wrong. Bet the under.
Oh my gosh. That's not playing. All right, let's continue.
I don't know what it is.
Let's continue with some of the NBA games that are also on the board. We have Clippers, Pelicans. Clippers laying 3 with the total at 229. Now, Kawhi Leonard, of course, still remains out against the Pelicans. He has that sore right foot. Patrick Beverley and Serge Ibaka will miss Monday's game as well. Rajon Rondo, who has missed the Clippers' last two games with a right wrist inflammation, is also questionable. Now, they are going to play the Suns on Wednesday. The Clippers are. So I feel like maybe we'll see Kawhi Leonard possibly return for that. It wouldn't make sense to kind of come back and play this Pelicans team. But in terms of some against the spread numbers, the Pelicans are 2-5 in their last 7 home games, 1-5 in their last 6 games overall against the spread. As for the total, the under is 5-1 in the Clippers' last 6 overall, while the over, of course, for the Pelicans, 39-16 in their last 55 games overall. We know the Pelicans usually play to the over. Which way, Kev, would you play this game?
All right, so I think I'm going to steal a little Aaron's flavor here for the final 2 games on the board. We start with Clippers-Pelicans. I like the dog. I think the Pelicans can win this game at plus 126. They're getting 3 points here against the Clippers. I really do believe that. This is what the Pelicans have done all year long. They bring a good team into New Orleans. They play up. They get excited for that game. A tough loss for them in a close, close game with the San Antonio Spurs. In comes a Clippers team running hot right now, whether it's just Paul George, whether it's just Kawhi, whether it's the both of them, whether it's none of them. They continue to put results up on the board. I do think the Clippers are eyeing that number 2 overall spot. It's not that I think this is going to be a poor Clippers performance. I've just seen this from the Pelicans time and time again. This is the spot, the numbers back it up, that they step up all season long, getting 3 points, plus 126. I think the Pelicans are live for this game.
Oh, Kev's making me want to already fill my dog of the day right after the show. All right, last game on the board, we have Cavs versus the Raptors. Raptors laying 10.5, of course, with double digits there. Do you think they'll be able to cover that against the Cavs?
All right, let me just say this. I forgot we had 2 left, so I'll say this, right? Cavs, Raptors, Raptors laying 10.5, whether they're back healthy or not, that's still bizarre to me. I just mentally can't get around the idea that that team is laying 10.5 points. I know the Cavs are on a back-to-back. I could see the Cavs hanging tight there. I don't love that game. Here's the game that I wanted to bring up, okay? I think this is the dog of the day special. Detroit Pistons. Getting 5.5 points. The Atlanta Hawks are 5-2 this year without Trae Young. They've won 5 straight games. That can't keep up. I know you can go broke in this game by saying, well, that can't continue, and then they do. I don't care. They cannot keep winning without Trae Young. This is the Pistons' bat signal. When they're not supposed to win, when they're supposed to get rolled, they surprise. Pistons plus 5.5. Almost 2-1 to win the game. Dog of the day, Detroit Pistons.
There you have Kev's dog of the day. Stay with us here. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line on Sports Grid on SiriusXM, Channel 204. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. Time to talk about Major League Baseball. The first thing we wanted to touch on was Jacob deGrom's performance Friday night, of course, when the Mets won 6-0. We want to talk about where he lies also in the MVP market right now, plus 1,500 to win the NL MVP.
So many, many moons ago, actually just right before opening day, Aaron and I talked a lot about the futures market, some win totals, World Series, and awards. And we talked about Jacob deGrom, 50-1 to win the NL MVP. And we talked about the lessons that we had learned from the NBA season. Betting awards to beat numbers and cash out. Provide yourself an opportunity to maybe hedge down the road, because this stuff is hard and injuries happen all the time. Look at the board right now for the National League. The folks that sit above Jacob deGrom, Acuna, missed time because of injury. Soto on the IL. Mookie Betts has missed games because of injury. And so has Fernando Tatis. This is true throughout sports, especially baseball. 162 games. These guys are going to miss some time here. But Jacob deGrom, who is the heavy favorite to win the National League Cy Young, which he is once again right now at plus 130. And honestly, you could say he should already be minus money, is absolutely live to win the MVP. Early doors, I know, but he currently leads all of baseball, pitchers and position players, in wins above replacement. And we know, whether you at home disagree or not, that it should matter. It does matter to the voters who leads in war. And nobody has been more valuable this year than Jacob deGrom. If the season ended today, Jacob deGrom would legitimately get my vote, and I think would get a lot of people's vote. He's now at 15 to 1. 50 to 1 to 15 to 1. That's what we were looking for. And I think those numbers are going to only grow shorter on the best pitcher in Major League Baseball. What an unbelievable start from this guy. More RBIs than earned runs. Otherworldly, he's the best pitcher in baseball, maybe the best player in baseball.
And in the NL MVP market on the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, Ronald Acuna Jr. plus 300, Juan Soto, Mookie Betts plus 900, Fernando Tatis 10 to 1, then Jacob deGrom behind them at 15 to 1. But Kevin, of course, making the case that there's a lot of great value for him in this market. Let's continue with some recap. Yankees, Indians. Your Yankees don't complete the four-game sweep with the Indians 7-3 win yesterday. They couldn't hold that three-run lead that they built. But all around, this was a positive result this series for the Yankees.
Absolutely. Absolutely was. They needed something like this. There's something about Cleveland. They seemingly can put the results up. It feels good to be annoyed that they didn't sweep a team, right? I mean, in what world do we have legs to stand on that that's what Yankees fans should be complaining about? But that's where they were. They did a great job putting results up on the board to start this set in Cleveland, and that's what it's going to come down to for the New York Yankees. We'll talk about the game in a moment, but they're now moving on to a fresh series in Baltimore. All in all for the Yankees, especially getting a win off of Shane Bieber. I think that is a nice momentum builder for this ball club. That's all you could ask for. Three out of four against a team in Cleveland that is still a difficult out, entered that series at 500. Very, very pleased with this series result from the Yankees, even if yesterday was a little bit frustrating.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, the Orioles, the Yankees are going to open a four-game series against them, which shouldn't be too difficult for the Yankees, so maybe they'll start to find their stride. They're going to put Garcia on the mound to make his season debut after being sent to an alternate training site to work on his slider. Now, the Orioles did have some trouble against the A's most recently, being swept almost until the O's, of course, had five runs in the eighth inning to get an 8-1 win. Now, Orioles are starting Matt Harvey, who had 19 innings already this season with 24 hits, 11 earned, two homers allowed, three walks, 16 strikeouts. Right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, we have the Yankees 4-2 in their last six overall, minus 162 on the money line with a total at 9. Which way, Kev, would you play this opening game?
I'm looking for the Yankees team total. Russell, the Yankees have mashed in Camden Yards for years now, and I think they'll be excited to get to that ballpark and hit a couple long balls out of the stadium. You want to mess around with some to-hit-a-home-run props? I have no qualms with that throughout this series. Just if you want, and that's probably the best way to play it, by the way, because to-hit-a-home-run props are difficult. If you say, look, I'm going to strap in for this series, I'm going to bet the same 2-3 Yanks all series long, four-game set, and you only need one. The numbers are usually long enough to make it a profitable affair, although perhaps the numbers will be too short on the Yanks. I think that's an interesting outlook, something we can track. I think that would be pretty fun. But I think the Yankees team total. The offense woke up a little bit here in Cleveland. Much, much better arms offered out there by the Indians than the Baltimore Orioles here. That's my early thoughts with the Yanks, and I know that it's typically been much better to bet the live team totals for the Yankees because they get off to such slow starts, but I think that could change here in Baltimore.
And let's also talk about the Phillies versus the Rockies, because obviously yesterday they had a terrible loss. Rockies win 12-2. Trevor Story hit a grand slam to cap a 7-run fourth inning. That was his third career grand slam. Now, the Phillies did end up winning the game before on Saturday, 7-5 with Nola on the mound. But overall, how do you think the Phillies have been playing lately? I know Bryce Harper has been playing really well for the team. So maybe in terms of upcoming games, because they are going to face the Cardinals, be looking at his home run prop.
Bryce has been awesome. Bryce is right up there when you talk about early MVP candidates. Bryce is right there. Here's the thing with the National League. First to fifth, separated right now by two games. A lot of 500 baseball being played by the NL East. So the Phillies did well for themselves, did at least good enough for themselves in Colorado. You don't like being blown out. Leaves a sour taste in your mouth from that series. But they did good enough for themselves in that set with Colorado that you can look, I know they only won the one game, but all in all, you were on the road. they've not cost themselves anything, but they've not won themselves anything. They got off to such a good start, right? This team winning their first four games. They were 5-1 early season, were the Philadelphia Phillies. You got to get back to winning series, because that's really right now. Again, nobody outside of maybe the Dodgers has really done anything that's had, you know, all right, look, this division is done. And even the Dodgers are only three up on the Padres, but it's just the Dodgers. We have no thought that somebody's going to come in and take this thing away from LA. But where else do you look across Major League Baseball? Oh, this is done. This race is over. Nowhere. You shouldn't, by the way. It's only April, so there's a lot of meat on the bone for a team like the Phillies, but that's true, again, 1-5 in that National League East.
And the Phillies, of course, are now going to play the Cardinals in St. Louis. They're going to open a four-game series there. Right now, both teams at minus money on the money line with a total at 7.5. Kev, do you have a lean in this game?
Yeah, Zach Wheeler at minus 110 against St. Louis does jump off the page a little bit here. Adam Wainwright, to me, more name than the actual value that he is bringing to this club. His opener against the Reds was a disaster. I know he sorted things out, but it's been a little bit more hot and cold for Adam Wainwright. Six earned when he took the mound in his opener, then he gave up one. Then he gave, you know, had four runs given up against Washington, then back down to that one. So if we're doing the hot and cold game here with Wainwright, probably goes out there, struggles against the Phillies team that I think can put some runs up on him. And all in all, I think Zach Wheeler here should have a nice performance against the Cardinals. I'd lean towards the Phillies. I think they're rightful road favorites.
Let's hope so there. Now, we also mentioned multiple times throughout the show the Padres being the Dodgers in their previous series. The Dodgers are still heavy favorites all over the FanDuel Sportsbook, though. They're going to play the Reds today. The Reds were just swept in their three-game series against the Cardinals and are on a seven-game losing streak. Right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, I was a tad surprised to see these odds weren't a little longer, but on the money line, minus 187 with a total at 7.
So you have to think about this for the Dodgers is they just played an 11-inning game late into the night, right? So a short turnaround, even if it is a 10-10 start here, short turnaround for the Dodgers in that respect. Used up a lot of their arms, right? So that's very relevant now. Who can actually come out of the bullpen for them in this game if Urias can't go long? So that also makes me think they might push the envelope a little bit more on Julio Urias, maybe an over on his strikeout prop because they'll need more innings from him if that bullpen's not available. But here's another important note, Aaron, and we actually had talked about this and it worked out with tremendous effectiveness. The last time the Dodgers and the Padres played, they both then proceeded to lose the next game that they played after the series. Both were, though, didn't have a day off. The Dodgers dropped the game in Seattle, and the Padres had lost to the Brewers. Now, the Padres have a day off, so I'm not sure if it'll still apply to San Diego, but I think that could be an interesting trend to try to back here, just the idea that these teams are just going to lose the next game because it's such a comedown. I worry a little bit about, you know, the Dodgers to lose again in LA. I think a lot of people are going to be presenting that angle. So I worry a little bit about a popular dog going against the Dodgers, but I'm certainly not going to show up to the window and lay minus 186. Say, there's no way they lose again. I think maybe if you want to be creative, a Dodgers team total, buyer beware all over this game.
Yeah, and just want to mention the longest odds on the board today is the Braves minus 194 against the Cubs. The Braves, of course, dropping their last two games to the Diamondbacks. Yesterday there was a doubleheader. Diamondbacks won 5-0 and then 7-0. They were completely shut out yesterday. So do you think they'll be able to bounce back today?
And they had one hit in the 14 innings. Madison Bumgarner throws a no-hitter of 7 innings in the second game, which is crazy because it doesn't really count because it was a 7-inning doubleheader. But great stuff for Mad Bum. Cool to see him back out there doing the darn thing.
Stay with us here. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line. I'm Aaron Dolan, joined by my co-host Kevin Walsh. It is NFL draft week, so Kevin and I want to talk about some of the odds right now that are on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Make sure to keep an eye, because every day I feel like there's more updated odds and even more added to the board that you can bet on. So we wanted to start off, though, with some news that happened earlier this morning. The Falcons have been listening to trade offers for Julio Jones. Atlanta has one of the worst cap situations in the league, and trading Julio effective after June 1st would create $15 million in cap space. So should this news change or impact their number 4 overall pick, Kev?
In a way, it could, right? If we're trading Julio Jones, we being the Atlanta Falcons, well, aren't we planning for the future then? And if we're planning for the future, then why are we not drafting a quarterback at 4th overall? That immediately makes me think about Justin Fields. It makes me think about Trey Lance. I know the Falcons' desire is to trade back. I think they've made that abundantly clear, but it's great to want to trade back. I think there's... You know, out of the 12 teams that are going to be, you know, inside that top 12 they're drafting, I think like 8 of them want to trade back. Like the top 3 are good, and I think like the Bengals are like, yeah, we're good here at 5. There's 2 guys that we want. I think everybody else is like, yeah, we'd like to trade back. So it's easier said than done. If we're moving on from Julio Jones here, then we got to be willing to make a pick for the future. Also, if we're moving on from Julio Jones, does that make wide receiver a little bit more of an option then? Jamar Chase, Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle. Does that become more of an option for the Atlanta Falcons? That's irrelevant. It is. Now, I would still say no. I don't know how this, because some people think this pushes them to Kyle Pitts a little bit more. My biggest takeaway is if we're moving on from Julio, that means we're preparing for the future. That means we should be taking a quarterback at 4th overall. Justin Fields plus 185 to be the number 4 pick. Trey Lance plus 250 to be the number 4 pick. I think that's my initial takeaway when I hear this Julio Jones stuff as it pertains to the NFL draft.
So for this number 4 overall pick right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook, Kevin was mentioning those numbers. Justin Field plus 185, Trey Lance behind him. But the favorite is Kyle Pitts right now, minus 125. He's the tight end out of the University of Florida. So, Kev, should the Falcons be able to trade back? Will this market, suddenly for bettors wondering, become unavailable? Will it change to the team that will get that number 4 overall pick?
Great point. That's why it's listed as 4th overall, not who will the Falcons select. Because it's not a guarantee that the Falcons are selecting here. Again, the Falcons would rather not be selecting here. But I think you also have to ask yourself, does Kyle Pitts have a chance to go 4th if it's anybody other than the Falcons drafting? I think without a shadow of a doubt, the answer is no. Nobody's trading up to get Kyle Pitts. No matter how good you believe Kyle Pitts is, even if you're like, oh, I'm telling you right now, this guy, Kyle Pitts, is the best talent in this class. Second best talent behind only Trevor Lawrence. That's great. He still plays a tight end. And perception is reality. And the perception around that tight end position is that for some people, you cannot be drafting one at the 4th overall pick. Again, you can disagree. But if you can't draft one at 4, you certainly can't trade up for one at 4. So if the Falcons get their wish and trade out, Kyle Pitts will not be the selection.
And I also wanted to kind of mention in terms of after those, of course, number 1 through number 4 overall picks, we don't have number 5 or 6 or any longer than that right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook. But you can also bet on Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Kyle Pitts, Jamar Chase, their draft position. Now, in terms of Justin Fields and Mac Jones, you might not have the best value, of course, over 3.5 for Justin Fields is minus 350 under plus 500. But in terms of Kyle Pitts and Jamar Chase, there is value to be had in those markets at 5.5.
Yeah, absolutely. So here's the interesting thing with, let's start with Kyle Pitts, right? So as far as Kyle Pitts' position is, right, that minus 166 at 5.5 to the under, I don't believe he can be selected at 5th. Everybody knows he's not going 1, 2, or 3. It's going to be Lawrence, then it's going to be Wilson, and then it's going to be Mac Jones. But in simpler terms, it's going to be quarterback, 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 1, 2, 3. No debate there. I don't believe Kyle Pitts is an option at 5. I think it's Penny Sewell. I think it's Jamar Chase. I don't think there's anything else that the Bengals war room is deciding on. I don't think Pitts. I don't think Waddle, J.C. Horn, Patrick Surtain, Mika Parsons. It's Sewell or it's Chase. So at minus 166 to the under, I don't like that as value for Pitts. Again, maybe I'm wrong here, But I'd much rather be betting him at minus 125 if you believe he's going to be the fourth overall selection. And I still have my doubts about that. That plus 136 number, that plus money to the over, has remained the more intriguing option to me on the board. Because I think, again, you're betting an exact fourth overall pick. We've just talked about it. The Falcons don't even want to be drafting there. And I don't think it makes any sense, really, for the Falcons to be taking Kyle Pitts. They just traded for Hayden Hurst last year. I know Pitts is much better than Hurst, but I'm not sure about this team running two tight end sets to that degree. And I just know that they don't want to be drafting in that spot. And if they are, they're better off taking a quarterback. And all in all, I'd much rather go over 5.5 on Kyle Pitts.
Interesting. Then also on the FanDuel Sportsbook now, we have markets for the exact order, which has insane value, of course, if you can get that right, and match bets. So why don't I first kick us off with, for example, the first four wide receivers drafted. If you wanted to take Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Waddle, Devonta Smith, Rashad Bateman, that's plus 340. So that's the favorite right there. But that's just something that obviously if you want to take a gamble in, there is great value to be had. But again, this, of course, coming off your own mock draft, and things could happen over the week with teams trading up, trading down, and things of that nature.
What jumps out to me initially is, and you can always get a sense of these things, is that the perception is that Jalen Waddle is going to come off the board before Devonta Smith. Because the first two options, Ja'Marr Chase is number, and by the way, Ja'Marr Chase as the first wide receiver drafted is the favorite in all, in these through the first like eight or nine options, right? But then it's Jalen Waddle as the second and third choice. So I think that's fascinating here. Also, you take a look at it, the fourth spot, Rashad Bateman, Kadarius Toney, there's some movement there. But Terrence Marshall Jr. is also an option here. So that's what makes this difficult for me to play around here. As Aaron said, a lot of value, a lot of plus money. But I got to get right Waddle Smith. We know that, right? So we believe Jamar's going one. Okay, cool. No problem, right? Fine. I have to get Waddle Smith correct. I don't have a doubt, though, that whichever one of them doesn't go two goes three. So fair enough. But then I got to get Bateman, Toney, Marshall Jr. right as well. It's a tough market to pin down. If you're going to look to play in it for plus money, no qualms here. But I'd love then, if you're somebody that is playing in this market, try and have a bet that can kind of correlate and maybe cover you on the back end. Because if you're playing in this market, you must have a take on that 11.5 Jalen Waddle position or the 11.5 Devonta Smith position. Similarly, you probably have a take on Bateman's 28.5 over under or Kadarius Toney's 29.5 over under. So if you're going to play that for big plus money, no problem. I'd play it a little bit lighter, but I'd really cover myself then on one of the over under props with these wide receivers.
Yeah, and of course, with that exact order, it's going to be very hard to hit that. But again, at great value, that's something new that's on the board, as well as match bets. Sticking with Waddle and Smith, you could bet on Waddle to go first, minus 148, and Devonta Smith, plus 116. When I was watching SportsCenter over the weekend, the one thing I kept realizing that they kept bringing up was just, again, Smith's size. He's 34 pounds lighter than the average of a wide receiver. But he does have bigger hands than players like Jimmy Butler, which was just funny. They kept correlating that. But just all around it, if you do, because originally we thought these two were neck and neck, and everyone thought that in terms of the odds boards. But now, considering you can bet on the match bet, it seems that Waddle could potentially go first. But if you want to pick which player does go first, match bets is a really great category right now in the FanDuel Sportsbook for you to take advantage of.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think one of the interesting things, though, Devonta Smith to be drafted before Jalen Waddle, checking in at plus 116. But you compare that to the under 11.5 at plus 118 for Devonta Smith. They both could go inside the top 11. So if I like Smith to go in front of Waddle, I'm more likely to just take Smith's under 11.5 than make a play on that match bet. That's where I would still see the value. I'd also just like to make this point too, Aaron, as far as these wide receivers go. And by the way, same deal, right? Bateman, Toney, you can see that head-to-head matchup's available there, right? But I'd like to make this point with the wide receivers. because of that Baltimore Ravens Kansas City Chiefs trade. Let's see, the Ravens now hold 27-31, and the Kansas City Chiefs be removed from the situation in the first round. And where does that add some value? I think total wide receivers at 4.5. We've seen that now jump up to -290. Totally understandable, because it would be a stunner if the Ravens didn't draft wide receiver at least one of their two first round selections. It'd be a stunner. They honestly could draft, if they stay at both spots, I wouldn't be all too floored if they took wide receiver at both selections. I kind of think they trade out of one of those picks, but all in all, the Ravens are very likely to take a wide receiver. We know the top three are going to be going. That puts us at 4. I understand why it's -290. But here's the other angle for me. We talked about this, Mark, a little bit last week. The total offensive lineman drafted, 6.5 now. And it's continually being bet up to the over. -130 juice to the over. We talked about a lot of mock drafts, though, typically falling with either 6 or maybe even 5 total offensive linemen gone in the draft now. The Chiefs were one of those teams drafting offensive line in a lot of mock drafts. For that now to be no longer an option, because the Chiefs are outside of round number 1 and they're not going to be trading back up into the first round. They're just not. They would have, if they thought there was a world in which they would really covet a player that could be available 31-32, they wouldn't have traded out in the way that they just did. I still think the under 6.5 and now +102 on offensive linemen drafted on the heels of that trade with the Ravens and the Chiefs does jump out.
Yeah, and of course, all these trades and different things, you have to take into account how that's going to change the odds. But I want to stick in the category of match bets and kind of talk a little bit about the quarterbacks again, because Fields and Lance right now are both at -112. So neck and neck there, of course. Then you have Texas A&M's Kelly Munn -142 versus Kyle Trask's, of course, out of Florida at +112. Do you like either of these markets? Let's say if you don't want to take one of these players, of course, number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4, they're almost solidified at this point, especially with those players being at minus money. But you can kind of bet these quarterbacks neck and neck now.
Yeah, I think Fields-Lance is fascinating. I mean, wow, do people not know what to do with these quarterbacks? I mean, nobody knows what to do. Fields and Lance just bang -112, you figure it out. And it's tough to figure it out here. I think you'd have to give the edge to Lance just because it seems that he could still go 3, and we know Fields isn't going 3 if we believe the reports. And I tend to believe these reports. These guys are well-sourced. So I think that's fascinating. As far as Mond versus Trask goes, and I've heard first-round rumors around Kellen Mond, not as much Kyle Trask. And again, I don't know if Kellen Mond's going to go round number 1, but I feel pretty good Kyle Trask isn't. So I think Mond, even if -142 is a little bit juicy for some, at number still makes some sense to me there at -142. And hey, while we're at it, that Penny Sewell, Ja'Marr Chase head-to-head, Penny Sewell at +146. I still think he's the guy that goes 5th. I think he has a chance to go 4th. I think that's a really nice number on Sewell over Chase.
And all the odds that Kevin and I just talked about are available right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Stay with us here on the Early Line. We'll be right back after the break to talk more. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line and happy Monday to all our viewers and listeners. For Kevin Walsh, I'm Aaron Dolan. So we talked about a lot of things related to sports, of course, all morning long. We had so much to talk about. It was a packed show, but we also wanted to kind of end our show with something fun. Of course, the Oscars were last night. So I wanted to ask Kev which category he would want to win if he was at the Oscars last night.
I mean, you know, I think Best Picture, considering it is the most prestigious of the awards, I think you would like to bring home, if possible. All in all, though, I mean, winning anything at the Oscars feels like it would be quite emotional, regardless of it. I mean, this is what these people work their entire lives towards. Also, too, and I know it's nothing you can do on the FanDuel Sportsbook, but you know, people find their ways. People do bet a little bit on the Oscars.
People will bet on anything.
Find a way to get involved.
They bet on the weather.
It's true. It's true. That's something. I mean, I don't know if people are betting on the weather. I know people bet on the lottery, though. I know people were betting on that last presidential election. Again, not us, not here, not on the FanDuel Sportsbook. But I know people find their ways.
Yeah, I think I would want to be, obviously, the best actress. I feel like that would be the best award you could win, obviously, if you were in one of these movies. But No Man's Land wins the Best Picture, of course, this 93rd Academy Award. So would you end up right away after hearing they've won, go and watch this movie? Because for me, I'm just, it's kind of like,
couldn't care less.
Whatever.
I know you couldn't care less. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'll seek
it
out
there.
You can tell people. You're not.
Yeah, I don't like movies really too much. But yeah,
just a wild takes you have. Don't like ice cream. Don't like movies.
I like ice cream. It just gives me night terrors. I do love avocados. I have two right on the counter. I got them yesterday.
Bizarro. all in all, I'll look to go seek out Nomadland, though. I've heard great things about it, so I'll probably have to sit down and watch that. I recently watched, and look, this is, by I mean, it's not a comparison, but I recently went and made sure I watched Ocean's 11. That movie's a treat. I recommend that if nobody's ever watched it. I've heard Ocean's 12, a little bit of a letdown, so I'm kind of delaying watching that. I also have intentions of watching No Country for Old Men. Heard great, great things about that. So that one's fired up in the catalog. That's next.
And hopefully at these award ceremonies, we'll have fans and people there sooner rather than later. Stay with, or we'll see you tomorrow morning here on the Early Line, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Sports info
is everywhere.
We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single day. This is
looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.